we will see them during the week or next Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for strategically positioned. That is so great. So who knows what the word, what does strategic mean? What does the word strategic mean? Okay. I don't have a dictionary explanation for it, but here's a bit of a secular definition that I came across. And it is, strategy is to achieve one or more goals under conditions of uncertainty. And it is to attain and maintain a position of advantage over your adversaries. Thank you. Through the successive exploitation of known or emerging possibilities, rather than committing to any specific fixed plan designed at the outset. So often we go through life with like these race horses with these things over the eyes that we can't see very wide. And often we get busy with life, we get busy with the things of life, and we don't really always consider and critically look at the things we are busy with and what the significance of those things are and what the long-term effect is of the things that we're busy with in terms of our purpose and our vision. Now, if you look at companies today, every company has a corporate vision, a corporate identity, and companies try to position themselves strategically to be successful in the marketplace. If they do not do that, if they don't have the competitive advantage over their competition, they will not be successful in the long term or in the long run. If you look at strategic position, if you look at games like chess, or if you look at sports like cricket or rugby, if you are a wicketkeeper in a cricket match, you will position yourself differently if you are facing a fast bowler than if you're facing a spin bowler. So if you know whether he's going to bowl leg spin or spin, you will position yourself differently. So it is important in sports, in every game that we face, that we position ourselves strategically. If you look at war strategies, countries making war against each other, they've all got the intelligence services and trying to figure out what the other country is going to do, what information has leaked where, and how to position themselves to be able to win the war that they're busy with. If we look at the spiritual battle, the unseen battle around us, you will see that we are also in a war, we are also in a battle. And Jesus Christ has already obtained the victory, he's already victorious, but yet the enemy manages to deceive the world, and he still launches attacks on the world and those around us and us ourselves. And before the trumpet sounds, when everyone will know who Jesus Christ is and they will know that he is victorious, these battles are still going on with Jesus Christ being the commander of the armies, and where we need to be obedient to him in that way, where he's the commander. And as we've seen during the Encounter 2 training, that we are not only a battleship to go and fight, but we are also a Red Cross type of hospital ship where we go to heal and bind up and comfort those who have been the victims or the casualties of war. So let's look at the first slide as strategically positioned. The way you are positioned determines what you are able to access, or what you are able to receive, and what you are able to give, what you are able to sow. It also determines from who you can receive and to whom you can give, or to whom you can sow to. So your strategic position has a great influence, a great bearing on everything around us in terms of giving, receiving, and to our sphere of influence. We read Proverbs 18 verse 16, it says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." So if you look at the original translation of the word gift, we talk about gift, it's not necessarily your gifting, but it can also be your gifting. But the word here refers to a present that you bring, but it can also be your gifting. And this positions you and gives you access to come before great men. So So to set the scene, let's read the sower, the parable of the sower and the seed. Matthew 13, verse 3 to 5. Well, let's read from verse 3 to 9. And he spoke many things unto to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And then the sun was up, they were scorched. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here we read the well-known parable, where we read about different types of soil. Now, you've all heard this, but just to refresh your memories again, the first seeds that were sowed fell by the wayside. So what does this mean in our lives? Often when people hear the word, they don't have a complete understanding of the word, or the Holy Spirit, or they don't receive that revelation or impartation from the Holy Spirit. So they hear something, but it doesn't really go into their hearts. It's not really planted, and it can be stolen by the enemy. And other seed fell upon the stony places. So if you think of a hill with this rock below, you normally have a thin layer of soil. The soil can be quite fertile. So when the seeds fell there, they quickly sprung up, they quickly germinate. But there's bedrock underneath, so they're not able to form any deep roots. And that speaks of people where they've heard the word, but they've received it so easily, they've not really studied the word, they haven't really examined it, they haven't really been critical about the word that they've received. They just receive it because it sounds nice. And often, if there's no deep roots, if this word doesn't really mature inside their lives, then if difficult circumstances come, if the sun comes up and it scorches, in these difficult circumstances, it can be offense, it can be circumstances, it can be anything that happens in life that they were not prepared for. And very easily those seeds can die, they can wither. And then it says, some fell among the thorns. Now these thorns, we all know what it is. Together with all the good plants that comes up are also these thorns and thistles. And these are all the things around us in life that inhibit growth, that chokes the plants. These can be things like idolatry, riches, pride, fear, cares of this world. So there's many things in the world that can equate to thorns and to thistles in our lives that prevent the seed from growing actually. So if the seed has been sown, you can water all these seeds. You can give them as much water as you like. But watering alone, this parable shows, is not enough. You cannot only water the seeds. You also need fertile ground. And our hearts and our minds, and our spirits, are the soil, or represents the soil on which these seeds will fall and where they have to germinate. So therefore, the way we position ourselves in terms of how our hearts are like, what our minds are like, what our spiritual position is, determines when these seeds fall, whether they will grow strong, whether they will develop root systems, or if they will wither away quickly. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at our spiritual position first, then we're going to look at our position in the local body and our position in the world, to see how this plays a role in our walk as Christians, in our relationship with God. Now the first one, let's read John 5 verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life. So this talks about salvation, where you've accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord of your life. We've become saved. And this is the best long-term decision that you can make, because it has an effect on eternity, and it gives you surety of eternity. It determines where you will spend eternity. So this is the first strategic position that you can take in, is to become saved. And then the second one, Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we see here that by faith we are justified. By faith we have access to this multitude of things. We've got access to grace. We've got access to favor. We've got access to mercy. We've got access to joy. All these wonderful things that should form part of our Christian lives, our walk with God, we access by faith. So part of salvation is having faith in God, and that faith positions us to be able to have all these things, to be able to position us to have successful lives on earth through God's purposes. The next important one speaks of the fear of the Lord. Let's first read the scripture. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? So this talks of a holy, a reverential fear of the Lord, a holy respect for the Lord. It doesn't talk about being afraid of the Lord. So there's a difference of being fearful or being afraid of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord, the holy respect, the reverential fear of the Lord. And as we see in this scripture, the fear of the Lord positions us to love him. If you do not really respect, really have reverence for someone, you cannot truly love them. It positions us to be obedient to him, and it positions us to be in a deeper relationship with him, to the point where we can become his friend. As I said in the previous service, there's a song that we like to sing, I'm a Friend of God. And I always think, if I sing that song, that we sing it with reverence and with respect. Because it's a dangerous thing to say, and to sing that you are a friend of God, if you don't fear him and if you don't love him. If you read Acts 9 verse 31, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So this talks again about this reverential fear, and where it allowed them to receive peace, where it allowed them to receive security and comfort. One of the scriptures that I don't have up here that you can make a note of is Psalm 25 verse 40, which says that friendship with God is reserved for those who fear him. So it's in the New Living Translation. So it again iterates that special relationship with God, friendship relationship, is reserved for those who fear him. So the fear of the Lord positions us to receive. It positions us to be comforted and to grow. If you refer to Romans 11 verse 22, it talks about beholding the goodness and the severity of God. And you cannot truly understand the goodness of God, or only live on the goodness of God, if you don't understand the other side, the severity, the justness of God. Having the fear, the holy fear of the Lord in our lives, positions us to make decisions, that when we have to make those decisions, to make decisions not for our own gain, but make decisions according to the will of God. If we don't have the fear of God in our lives, the decisions we take will be based upon our own needs, our own comfort, what is easiest for us. But if we fear the Lord, we will make decisions according to His will and be obedient to Him. So therefore, the fear of the Lord also implies obedience. If you have the fear of the Lord in your life, you will be obedient. So this is another important spiritual position to be able to maintain, to have, to be strategically positioned. We go on to the next one. It speaks of a yielding spirit, a meekness, and the laying down of pride. If you look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. So here we speak of always regarding the other person higher than ourselves, always esteeming the other person higher than ourselves. And according to the scripture, this humility positions us to be able to receive grace. If we are proud, God resists us, but if we have got this humility, we are able to receive grace. We are just something on pride. Pride is something that can be very, very subtle. In the way that we talk with people around us, the way that we regard ourselves in terms of our profession, our qualifications, the riches that we have, the knowledge that we might have, the skills we might have, our social status. All of these things are very subtle things where often we attach our own identity to. We connect our own identity with these things. And when we speak to other people, we share these things like your profession or your qualification or whatever to be able to make yourself feel better. But that is part of a pride thing. That is something that we need to steer clear of. Our identity is not based on what we have attained or our qualification or whatever, but it is based on our relationship and our identity in Jesus Christ. The next one in terms of spiritual position is the law of sowing and reaping. Let's read 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Then Galatians 6 verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So there's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. It is a spiritual law, but we can see its effects in the natural. And it is not a linear relationship between what you sow and what you receive. You can, the example I use, you can sow 50 cents and you can reap 5,000 cents or $5,000. Or you can sow 5 cents and reap 10 cents. So there's a mechanism behind it which we do not understand, but it's part of God's character to bless us and to surprise us and to give us things which we do not expect, because He already knows the desires of our hearts. And the part of this law of sowing and reaping is not to sow to the natural but to sow to the spiritual. When you give something, the intent with which you sow should be to sow in the spiritual, because then you understand the spiritual side of this law. If you just sow in the natural, it is part of a dead work and it doesn't really have an influence on the spiritual. Areas of your life where you can sow, there's many different areas. You can sow relationally, you can really spend time with people. You can sow relationally and you will reap relationally. You can show mercy and grace and you will reap mercy and grace. You can sow finances, you can sow time, and you will reap finances and time. God can multiply your time, He can give you rest. So sowing time also has advantages. You can invest, as an example, you can invest time in someone, and that person can later grow to be able to free up your hands, to free up your time. If we think of tithes and offerings and alms, those are the three ways that we give normally financially towards the local body. And as we read during the offering in Malachi 3 verse 10, that we can test godliness. This is one of the few or the only places in Scripture where he says we can test him. He says that when we give unto him, when we bring the tithes unto the storehouse, we can test him in that, that he will bless us and give us more than we can receive, more than we have room for receiving. Obviously, what is important with sowing and reaping is the heart and the intent with which we sow and the intent with which we give. We know the scripture where God says that he loves a cheerful giver. That speaks of our heart's condition. But when we give, even if we give sacrificially, it is an act of faith. And God rejoices when we have faith. And that act of faith, he responds on that. So this law of sowing and reaping, this understanding this law positions us to receive more. And it also talks of protection. As we read in the scripture, verse 11 in Malachi 3, where it says, he will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. So there is also this aspect of protection and blessing when we give to him. Right, let's look at our position in the body of Christ. If you look at the doctrine of man, is about us as human beings, where you essentially you are a spiritual being, you live inside a body, and you have a soul. Your soul is your mind and your emotions. Now, all of us have been born in a specific culture, a specific country, somewhere in the world. So, most of us have been born in Namibia or South Africa, but you can also think about it, if you were born in India or Pakistan or Australia or wherever else, you would still be the same spiritual being and spiritual person, but God has placed you in that specific continent with a specific purpose. So the fact that you are of a certain cultural group, that you are born in a specific country, speaks of the purpose and the calling that God has upon your life and the specific giftings that he has for you. In Corinthians 12, verse 18, God speaks about the local body and that he has placed every member with a specific purpose in that local body. That is not just by random. You didn't end up by random at a specific local body. And that's why it's important to note that you must make sure where is the local body, the house where God wants you to serve. That you don't hop around, jump around from one place to the other, but make sure where you should be. The next point we've got here is accountability. Now, if you are accountable inside your local body to those around you, especially in small groups, in terms of relationships, if we are accountable to one another, we allow persons whom we trust to speak into our lives. In terms of those relationships, we allow other people who can see our blind spots, who can help us, who can speak into our lives, who can pray into our lives for those things that we cannot see, that we cannot attend to always. So that is an important aspect to know. That is why small groups and relationships are very important. It keeps open doors closed. It identifies risks. It sheds light on sin. There's so many advantages of being in accountability relationships towards someone and towards persons that you trust. And that is an important strategic position to be able to maintain, to be able to keep your own life transparent, to be able to keep your own life accountable. And the next point is how we relate to those around us and those in authority. So I used the example of John Bevere, where there was a person in his church, and this person became very good friends. But he actually befriended this person with a purpose to be able to mentor him or to disciple him. But this person saw him just as a pal, or just as a buddy. And that he asked the person, would you like to receive from me what I can give you as a buddy, or would you like to receive from me what I can give you as a pastor or as a mentor? And that just speaks of the fact that the way we relate to persons in authority, persons around us or persons above us, the way we relate to them, the way we see or respect their office, determines what we position ourselves to receive from them. And there's nothing wrong with having good friendship relationships with those around, with your pastor, with your cell group leader. but acknowledging their office and respecting them for that allows you to receive much more than you would have if you were just standing in a normal friendship or buddy-buddy relationship, if I can call it that. In the last point, under the position, our position in the body of Christ is to be wise and faithful servants. Now, serving in church positions us to be able not only to give, but also to receive. And it also positions us in a way that during serving, because we serve under different circumstances, sometimes circumstances are easy to serve under, sometimes circumstances are difficult. And that variety of circumstances reveals our hearts. It shows to yourself what God already knows. God already knows our hearts and the things that are inside us. But serving reveals to yourself what are the things that you need to allow God to change in your life. When you think of giftings in church, often we think that you only have one strong point, one gifting only. But God has created us to be multifaceted, to have a whole range of gifts. If you think of the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are already three groups of giftings that you definitely will have one or more of them. So we must be active to serve, to be able to discover these giftings, to be able to discover this multifaceted range of giftings that God has blessed us with, to be able to develop those gifts and to grow in them. God is a multifaceted God. He's got so much to give for us. He has given us so much, but it is up to us to go and explore that, and for us to step out in faith, to allow those gifts to mature. Let's look at our position in the world. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the weeds that we spoke of earlier during the parable of the sower. Everything that we see around us, that we want, the things that we desire, that our bodies desire, the pride of life, the need to be esteemed, the need to feel you are good enough, where you have a need to be affirmed by the world, and where the affirmation from God is not enough for you. Those are all things that can choke or that can inhibit us to grow. So that is one of the things that we need to get rid of, to be positioned such that we are able to grow in our relationship with God. If those things are present in your life, you are much more prone to be deceived by the enemy anyway, because your focus is so much on these things that you think you want or you think you need. And then your focus is not completely on Jesus Christ as it should be. Just Proverbs 18 verse 16 again, where it says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So this speaks again of our position in the world, the gifting that God has given us. Not only the giftings, but the gifts that we can bring. They can bring us and position us such to come before great men, people of authority. If you think of the Namibian parliament, the president, I believe God has given us certain giftings that will allow us to be positioned such where we can, our sphere of influence can be extended so much where we can even pray into parliament, have access to those places and those people to speak into their lives, just to even the president and the ministers. So those are giftings that we should not hide, but develop and allow God to use those giftings, that we can come to a point of influence where we can speak life. Where does the influence on the future of this nation, the future of the local body, the future of the kingdom of God in this country? If you look at the examples of Daniel and of Joseph, what they did in their lives, the way that the giftings they had, they allowed God to use their giftings to come before the king, to lay out dreams, to speak life in the circumstances where they were in, where they could warn the king of 7 years of good times and 7 years of famine. So those are things that where they were strategically positioned to be able to even save a nation from famine. That is the way that I believe God also wants to use us, where we should become aware of that strategic significance to be positioned such to have that effect. And the next one is the strategic significance of being positioned to see the bigger picture. Often in our lives we get so used to the routine we are in. We get up every morning, we get the kids to at least eat something, we try to give them new clothes, we rush off to work, we have lunch, we come back. We've got a daily routine, a weekly routine that we get very set in. But it is definitely worthwhile to take time out now and then to critically, not in a bad way, but critically look at your own life, the things you are busy with, looking at where you are headed. You can run around with the same things every day, but sometimes it's worthwhile to go out of town and climb a hill or climb a mountain and look at the scenery, look at the bigger picture that you can see. And in a spiritual sense, that is also true and also valid, that you can take time out, stand on top of the mountain, ask God to show you the vision, show what He's got on His heart for His kingdom in this country, His kingdom over the world, His kingdom for the city, the plan He's got for the city, for the local body, and for yourself as individual, to see how you as individual with your unique purpose, your unique giftings will fit into this bigger picture, how you will fit into this, the kingdom that He has. Often we are very focused on our own individual purposes and what we should accomplish, but it's only when we understand the bigger picture and how we are supposed to slot in that it really makes sense, and where it shifts the focus from ourselves towards the kingdom of God. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So it talks about the strategic significance or importance to be able to obtain vision from God, to know where he's going, what are His plans, what are the things on His heart, so there can be vision and direction. Otherwise the people perish. And the last one is positioned to grow and to mature. So the well-known scripture that we all know is Acts 20 verse 35 that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And none of us can say we have not received anything. We have received life. We are all sitting here. We are all breathing. We all have the opportunity to make decisions and choices that will influence our future. If you have made the choice to follow Jesus Christ, if you have obtained salvation, you have made that great strategic choice that will determine where you will spend eternity. And we've all received different giftings, as we've spoken about previously. And the idea is for us to use these giftings to become a channel, that the more we can give, the higher the throughput is of what we're giving, the more we can receive from God continuously. And through that process of giving and receiving all the time, We position ourselves to grow, where God can create a great capacity in us to receive more, to be able to give even more. Then the last point I have here is to grow in maturity. And one of the points I make here is to grow to maturity, to position yourself to be able to grow, is to do the basics right, to do the basic things right continuously. So if you can get all the basics right, and at least do that continuously, do that well, you are positioned very well to be able to grow. That allows for a solid foundation in your life on which God can build. As I've also mentioned in the first service, we were conducting interviews for a specific position, and one of the candidates were able to describe a fairly complex concept in great accuracy or great detail. And we were sort of surprised. But all of the other things the interview was about, all the basic and foundational knowledge lacked. The person could not bring all these different ideas together as one picture. And that to me again speaks about the importance of understanding and getting all the basics right in your life. if you think in terms of your quiet time with your with the Lord, if you think of time in the Word, if you think of the way you conduct yourself every day, the relationships that you are that you conduct every day, the way you speak to people, all the even all the small things that we think are less important, those are actually the things that if you can get them right, it positions you to be able to grow further and to allow God to build on that. That through all of that, an important concept is also to remain teachable. None of us has got the perfect revelation of God. None of us know everything. No local body, no church group has got the perfect revelation of God. Therefore, we must always be positioned. We must always be teachable to receive new revelation from God, to be able to grow in our understanding of Him. So I come back to the first thing that I talked about, to go through life either with open eyes or to go through life with things over your eyes where you cannot see very well, and to really look at your life, analyze and see what are the things that God is speaking to me about. What are the things that I should get right, that I should put in place to be able to position me correctly and strategically to be able to grow and to be a blessing to His kingdom. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing grace and love for us, my Lord. Thank you that you know our hearts, you know our lives, Lord. You know what we are busy with every day, Lord. You know our shortcomings, Lord. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you reveal to us, that you reveal to each one of our hearts, Lord. What are the things, my Lord, you want to change in our lives? What are the things that we should allow you to change, my Lord? And that we will really be able to position as such, my Lord, that we can truly be a blessing to your kingdom, truly be a blessing to those around us, my Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will always also reveal to us the bigger picture, my Lord, the vision that you have in your hearts, that your vision will become our vision, my Lord, not only in terms of our individual lives, Lord, but also in terms of our local body, my Lord, the plans you have for this local body, the plans you have for our country, for your kingdom, my Lord, that we will be in one accord, there will be an amazing spirit of unity amongst us, my Lord, because we share the same vision that you've imparted to our hearts. And we just thank you for that, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your amazing love, and we pray for a greater revelation of your love in our hearts every day, Lord Jesus, that your goodness, my Lord, will just amaze us more every day, my Lord, and that it will continually lead to repentance, my Lord, anything that is not right in our lives, Lord, that your light will shine upon that, Lord, that we will allow you just to change us in those areas. We just thank you for that, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you bless and protect us as we go from you, in Jesus' name. If there's anyone with any specific need in terms of your lives, what you feel the Lord is saying to you, if there's anyone with specific things, if you require specific healing for something, if you require something specific, even in your spirit to be healed, please come forward that we can pray for you, that we can trust the Lord together for that. All right, so don't run away if you feel something still needs to, some transaction still needs to take place in the spiritual. If there's anyone with a word, anyone that wants to say something, you're also welcome to do so.
Good morning, guys. Whoa. I just had a word like this Wednesday, I think, and the word was about I just felt led to pray, and I was praying. The Holy Spirit showed me this picture of people that were crippled, and they're walking with their crutches. And as they're walking with their crutches, they walk into just this scenery where they walk into Golgotha, that place where Jesus was crucified, and they walk into the cross, and the word that I just received was, I mean, that God touched the word was that we be like a church, this group of people that we sort of like go and help those people get there, in a sense, you know. where we gifted in places where we have the ability or the gift to pray for the people to be able to walk and so forth, but to just accompany them. Specifically people that, for example, spiritually in their lives as well, they have been walking and they come to a place where they have fallen and or stumbled, and they come to a place where they probably jostled the knee or twisted an ankle or something, and they just can't walk properly. And we should be those agents of God where we step out to them and we help them. We sort of like carry their be a shoulder to them and to accompany them to the cross. Because we ourselves are all the people that have been in that place where we couldn't walk properly with Christ. We couldn't walk. We didn't even have our place, ourselves positioned in that place to see the cross and to be able to walk to that place where we find grace, where we find forgiveness, where we find freedom. And I just want to share from Luke chapter 16 and verse 17. It says, and these signs will accompany those that believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them. And say they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. I'm also reminded like, that I think 2 years ago, 2011, where Auntie Blanche, she's not here, and I and Harry and a few other people, we went to the Cathedral Hospital and we prayed for people and we found a lot of people. When we came there, we found people that were like very, some were having headaches and so forth. And there's a lot of healing that happened there. There's a lot of people that got to walk, they couldn't walk, or they're walking in crutches because we stepped out, you know. We had an opportunity to share the gospel with them and so forth, but it was so awesome because we are beating the fact that we stepped out. And the same thing just applies to all of us, you know. There are people out there, there could be spiritual needs even in church, and there could be needs out there as well, physical. But there's just an invitation that I got in the whole, through the Holy Spirit this Wednesday. And the good thing is, I shared it with Tracy Lee, right? Just like afterwards, because I felt to share it with somebody. And when I shared it with Tracy Lee, just I think that very day, she has visited somebody who was also working on crutches, you know, and it's just confirmation for me. And I also just want to send the invitation to anybody here that probably has like a need as such, you know, you're walking towards Christ, or you're having that position where you really want to find Christ, you want to go to the cross, but you're sort of like crippling, you know, and you just can't walk properly to the cross and so forth. We just really just want to send the invitation to you to come forth. And yeah, Ernst and maybe Johnny and Tracy will come forth and also come and minister with us. Thanks. Amen.
So the invitation is still open. Enjoy your day. We will be at front. Tracy, you have some?
I just feel to share this. We're made of body, mind, and spirit. And I just feel that just what complements what Ernst has preached this morning, that it says that, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I just feel this morning that spiritually we are seated in heavenly places. What Ernst has preached is how we can be obedient in our flesh to position ourselves so that what is happening in our lives comes into line with what Jesus did on the cross for us. He's positioned us spiritually that we are sitting in heavenly places. We have heaven accessible to us. We have healing accessible to us. We have victory in our workplaces accessible to us. We can position ourselves like this in the physical, but spiritually we are already there. And I just feel that when we pray this morning that we can let go of those crutches, of those things that we have made that we think hold us up and set us up for victory, and instead that we can be carried by God, and that the heavenly things that God has for us can flow into our lives. Who of us need victory? Put your hand up if you need victory. That you actually want those things working in your life, those things in the spiritual to begin to work in your life. Do you want it? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you that you are laughing over us, that you are joyful over us, that you have good things in store for us, that Jesus, you already see that the flesh has been crucified and that you have raised us up to sit in heavenly places. We just want to begin to become silence of your grace, Lord Jesus. We want to be able to feed the nations. We want to be able to make differences around us. We want to be obedient to what Ernst has said, and we want to position our flesh where we are humble, where we are willing to sow, where we respect authority, where Jesus, you can begin to flow through us from the heavenly places to reach those who are still walking in the flesh and bring them into agreement with what you want to do. Jesus, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would blow over this place, blow into all of us. Holy Spirit, we just want to be open to what you want to do. We want to be obedient to what you want to do. We want to be anointed to what you want to do in us and through us. We want to have a vision. We want to walk in the things that you want to call us into. Your name has been written in the book of life. Your name has been written in the heavenlies. Your testimony is going to be sure in the heavenlies. Your testimony, the good things that God is going to do through you.